maybe you've noticed the stairs, the groceries, everything that's not as easy as they used to be. And you're starting to wonder, what would it look like to get a little help? At Care.com, asking for support doesn't mean giving up independence. The right kind of help lets you stay in charge. Whether you know what kind of care you need or you're just starting to look, Care.com is here to help. You can find background-checked in-home caregivers who fit your budget, or explore senior living communities at your own pace. Read reviews, request tours, compare options. And if it all feels overwhelming, our senior care advisors, all master's-level social workers, can help you create a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Do you live for Sunday dinner and that slow-cooked all-day flavor of a pot roast that falls apart with a dull spoon? Thanks to Omaha Steaks, I'm never shy about the proteins when it comes to Sunday dinners at our house. Every steak is aged to perfection to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to https://omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
Prueba en el canal superior.
Prueba en el canal inferior. ¿Qué rollo, papi?
Muy bien.
Muy bien, papi.
Qué rico.
Oh, qué lindo.
Welcome back to The Kibitz, the weekly podcast where a pedantic yapper and a bimbo genius to chat about whatever the hell we want. I'm Connor Goldsmith.
I am Jordan Block. And how is my little sunshine baby, mi amor, mi vida?
I'm good. I'm down in Florida at the moment. This is maybe the last time, or we may come back in March briefly, but like the house is sold and it's just a little depressing now because it's like not.
Yeah. Now it's ghost house. Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's ghost house. And like my mother, organized lady that she is, has gone around already and put blue tape on every piece of furniture with like Sharpie on it that says like two house in Westchester or like donate or whatever. So it's like all of the furniture even is now ghost furniture.
Oh, yeah. That makes so much sense. It's you got plastic on the sofa.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here on the deck with and the deck table that I have my laptop on has a blue piece of tape on it with storage written on top. And I'm like,
weird. No, eerie, uncanny. Yeah. Uncanny Valley house. Yeah. You're in the uncanny house in the uncanny valley. Yeah, you're in a liminal space right now.
But I simply needed to not be in the cold. So my dad and I are going to be down here for like 10 days in ghost house.
Yeah.
Celebrating the good times we had here before Florida to the max.
Got Floridian.
Got real Floridian.
No, it's also so important that you're there because, bitch, y'all have ice floes on the Hudson right now. It is bleak.
It's
in New York.
Bad. It's really bad.
It's really bad.
I have lived in New York for my entire life, bar 8 years, the four I spent in LA and the four that I spent in college. In Ohio, and I have never been as cold in New York as I was in
You've
the last
never
week.
Experienced like this shit.
It was Ohio vibes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was. Oh, absolutely.
It was like an Ohio January, which is not acceptable. The last time it snowed like that in New York was like 1996.
Yeah. No, it's really fucked up.
And like, I remember it because it happened around my birthday and everything got fucked up. But like, it was not ideal. And
no,
this is similarly not ideal.
It's real hellscape vibes up there. Yeah. Winter Storm Fern is ferning. She is blooming.
I have to say, kudos to her. She's very impressive. But I would like
her
to chill the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, she's doing her big one.
The groundhog was like 6 more weeks of winter, and I was like, yeah, bitch, you think?
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, baby,
look at the material. Like,
it peeped up, and she's like,
She's like, hey, I'm still at it. Actually, you might want to go right back down in the burrow.
Exactly. No, the groundhog was like, I'm not going up there.
Yeah, he's like, I'm good down here.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Best of luck to you, girl.
Enjoy, terrestrial beings. I'm going to be subterranean for the next
KB, that Arctic front is getting fronty. She's fronted.
The polar vortex has never been quite so vortical.
No, she's loose. She's loose, mama. She's wavy. Loose, she's loose.
She's spinning. She's vortexing.
She's elongating. She's drooping down. She's taking off her camisole and it's drooping down.
It's twisted. My mom came down here to like do the furniture whatnot, and my godmother came and like they had their like little last hurrah for the Florida moment for a weekend. And it was like 35 degrees in Florida, South Florida.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Absolutely not.
I love 2026, where the polar vortex actually decides to not be so polar anymore and stretch all the way down to Florida. That's cool.
Yeah, like, oh, you heard of climate change?
Mm-hmm. It's a big one.
This is climate buck 50. This is not change.
Exactly. No, this is a climate 180, mama.
This is big. This is big climate.
Yeah. This is big climate doing big things.
Yeah.
This climate's doing big moves.
Can't say I'm a fan, particularly of what this climate is up to at the moment, but I understand that it's reactive.
That it's our fault.
And she's doing it because of us. So
exactly. she finally hit back.
Like, I get that. And I'm saying it's not. I'm not saying it was okay what we did, but I wish that she wouldn't hit us now.
Exactly. Yeah. No, this is her. This is her Stella got her groove back moment.
Oh, my dad's here.
Oh,
I'm saying hi.
Goldsmith.
He just flew in.
So
he just got here. I was like, Jordan and I will be
adorable.
Recording, so do not interrupt us. He was like, say hi to her for me, though. And I was like, I will.
Spider monkeyed. Y'all can't see it, but he was spider monkeyed on the glass.
Through the glass. I'm sitting on the deck.
Crawling through cryptid, local cryptid, our beloved father.
I'm out in the lanai because when I'm recording here, I don't want it. The house is kind of echoey. It's like an open plan kind of big living room. And so, especially with like ghost house, it's very echoey
exactly.
now. So
Baby, no waves absorbed.
No, it's not good acoustics.
It's not good. Yeah, if you want to hear more about Winter Storm Ferd and our ever-stretching polar vortex and her hitting us back for our actual categorical decades of abuse, I wrote about it on The Dose, so go check it out.
Check that out.
Period.
There's a link in the show notes. Also in the show notes is now a link to Did You Hear About Mimi Green at Dark Horse, the publisher's page. So
go there to find your local comic shop
and pre-order at your local comic shop. You may remember that I promoted the signed signature series at Collector's Paradise in LA, which you can still do. That is a great retailer and a great way to get all four issues signed by me. But if you're not in LA, those four issues will be sent to you in August when the book is complete. So just be aware of that. And if you want to get every issue as they come out, you're going to want to pre-order from your local comic shop, wherever that is. But the Dark Horse website can help you find your local comic shop.
Period.
So check
period.
That out in
And you know
the show
I will
notes.
Be on there post-hand
Hell
getting my
yeah.
shit queued up, booked up,
Hell
reserved
yeah.
every edition because I do live in LA and I can get it when I want to.
You sure can, baby.
I sure can, baby. And I'm gonna
you can
be.
Come to the
I'm
signing.
Gonna be post and I will. And I will.
So come to the signing because Jordan will be there.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
For the real heads.
And I'll be in an itty bitty skirt. You can look, don't touch.
Did you hear about Jordan Block?
Did you
the real
you
question?
Exactly. Should I come in Mimi Green drag?
Absolutely, to be
yes,
honest.
Done. Absolutely, 1,000%. Done. Already done.
I mean, she's a bottle blonde, so.
Mm-hmm. Won't take much. Won't take much.
It's an easy lift.
Period.
How are you, my queen?
Oh my God. I am mostly so good. I'm living Latinly at the moment.
As you should be.
Baby, Latinos are so up right now.
It has been a rough year and a half for Latinos. Yeah. So I'm happy that
Latinos my people
are up
have been
this
very
week.
Down, but we are so up this week. Viva la raza. Oh my God. It's so good. It's so good right now. I'm like glowing. I'm abundant. I am also in parallel arguing with men, of course, as always.
Yeah, well, so, that'll
yeah,
happen.
Exactly. That's just my life. So, you know, we have pros, we have cons, but it's mostly so pro. I am so like buoyed by joy and pride for my people right now. It was a much needed moment. We're going to talk about it more in like the actual culture section.
In like a second when we get started on
in
that,
because like
it's
second.
A big thing. But yeah. I just want to say it was really fun editing last week's Kibitz, getting it up. And then the Super Bowl was like immediately thereafter. And I was like,
yes,
we
Serious.
Were right. He did.
We're
meet
right.
The moment. Not that like
he did
we
meet the
are
moment.
The only
exactly.
geniuses who thought Bad Bunny would put on a great show. But that was one of the best halftime shows I've ever seen.
Ever in history.
That was really something.
My God. Yeah. And just like the community of the moment, it's like a high that I'm still riding going into this week.
I'm sure.
Oh my God. It's just like getting to be around the Latino for that moment. It's just, of course, cried, sobbed. It's huge. Yeah. It was a really like powerful cathartic moment for me. So I'm riding high, baby.
I'm glad. Yeah. It was a cathartic, beautiful moment for many people, obviously for Latinos all over the world and particularly in this country. But not to be like, it was also for us, because it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people who are not Latino, it just felt really nice to see. There's just such an overwhelming, this is part of how like authoritarianism works, right? Shock and awe, right? Like this idea that they just inundate you with horrible shit so that you have no ability to fight back because you're so beat down by like the wretched shit that you get on your Apple News every morning.
No, exactly.
This moment where someone just looked directly at the camera at the biggest event in the country that happens on television once a year and said, no.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And that the whole stadium was like, yeah, he's right. Fuck you. And that everyone at home, except for like truly garbage people, were like, yeah, he's right. Fuck you. Like, it just felt really, it just felt good. It feels like a moment that will be historically relevant, which feels
absolutely
like weird to say about a Super Bowl halftime show, but it just does.
Absolutely. And like, Kendrick and Bad Bunny having like the two most watched Super Bowl halftime shows in history. Afro Latinos are especially so up right now.
We're doing
big things right now.
I loved the halftime show. Even my mother, who I would not say is the audience for like Puerto Rican
of Bad Bunny performance,
was like, I loved the dancing.
Yeah, there you go. Period.
Like, it was a great show for everyone. There was something you could enjoy no matter what, unless you
were... A great show is a great show.
A racist.
Exactly.
Like Jill Zarin, who decided to get on the horn on her social media and go on a prolonged rant about how it was the worst Super Bowl halftime show of all time. You know, we're celebrating 250 years of America this year, and it just doesn't feel appropriate to have the whole halftime show be in Spanish. Why is he grabbing his crotch in front of children? Is he so insecure? I'm not taking either side, but it felt like a political thing to me. It felt like a political statement because there weren't any white people on stage at all.
Oh, my God.
I think it was like an ICE thing. And then she kept going and kept going and kept going. Now, for the Real Housewives of New York fans in the house, Jill has been wretched for a long time. But along with other members of the classic cast, she had just been announced as one of the cast members for The Golden Life, the new E-series set in Palm Beach that reunites the cast of Real Housewives of New York who've all retired down to Florida. She was fired from that show this morning before it entered production because the Bravo-verse rose up. Every Real Housewife who isn't her or Taylor Armstrong, who's also not my problem, everybody else, all the housewives were like, Jill, this is disgusting.
Fantastic.
Countess Luann was posting Bad Bunny songs and like
It was so cute.
The rest of the Golden Life cast, like Sonia Morgan, posted a picture of herself with like 500 Latino people and was like, I have a huge Latin following, which is a quote from Real Houses of New York because she was once on the cover of Latino magazine.
I'm dying.
And she's just like a very white woman. And the other housewives were like, why is Sonia on the cover of Latino magazine? Right. Like, apparently she has a big Latin following.
There you go, period.
So, but she was like, I've had a huge Latin following since before it was cool or whatever. It was like her with all her Latino. It was just very funny. It was like all of them were like, just to be clear, please do watch her show. We're not all rancid bitches like
Exactly.
Jill.
And luckily, she won't be on it.
Now she's not going to be on the show. Jill has previously been discussed in the Kibbids for saying that she was never coming back to New York because of Mamdani. Enjoy Sharia law. So, you know.
Yeah. She's not new to racism.
No. And that brings me to something that is that deep, which is racist Jewish people.
Yeah.
Are you fucking stupid? Are you the dumbest bitch walking? I'm
sorry, this
drives me crazy. And obviously, it's not new. Every spicy white or white adjacent ethnicity has this. Even white Latinos have this, obviously. Perhaps especially in many cases.
Yeah, clearly.
But like Italians, Middle Eastern people, whatever, there is always this thing of like, maybe if we're just more racist to other people, whites will love us. And I have news for you, Jill. They will never love you.
They will never love you,
baby. You will
never
be white enough for these people, ever.
Absolutely not.
The only reason that you were invited to the Trump inauguration and you feel white enough right now is because the Republicans are in bed with Netanyahu. That's the only reason. And let me tell you, Israel's popularity worldwide is plummeting as the whole world witnesses what the fuck is going on over there. So if you think that's a long-term situation, you're mistaken.
Yeah.
You think the political apparatus's alignment with Israel is going to keep Jews in the country club forever? I got news to you. We weren't in the country club until recently, and we're not going to be in the country club again very
soon.
And you are going to feel very stupid living in Florida, by the way, and being a fucking racist about Latin people, you dumb fucking bitch. I cannot stand her. She drives me crazy, and this kind of attitude is so sick to me.
It's so sick.
It's just crazy. I cannot imagine looking at ICE when you are a Jew.
Yeah.
And being like, this, they're the Gestapo. Fucking, literally. And you're like, oh, seems cool to me because I'm white enough. You're crazy for that.
Yeah.
And sick and a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And you should be ashamed of yourself. And I hope that this is something that will make you for once in your goddamn life self-reflect, but historically you never have. So it's doubtful. I will say, new facelift looks great, but Jill, you're not going to get to show off that new face now because you're done here. And Baruch Hashem for that.
Period. Go in, Connor. Only thing to add to that is that it is just such a salient reminder. The global evil that courses through everyone's veins is that the worst thing you can be is browner than I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just darker than me, that's not acceptable.
Absolutely.
And look, there are Yiddish slurs for black people too, so I'm not saying this is new.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
it's disgusting.
Think with your brain. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's always
turn it on.
Disgusting.
Turn
and
this
it's especially
on.
Fucking insane in this day and age. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
No, it boggles the mind. There's nothing going on up there. There's nothing going on up there but hate.
Absolutely crazy. The funniest was Zarin Fabrics posted a picture of her with her face X'd out to remind everyone that she's no longer involved with the company and hasn't been for like 10 years.
Period.
Zarin Fabrics stands against racism of all kinds. We disavow Jill Zarin. And then today, her step-grandson, who apparently manages the Zarin Fabrics social media, did an AMA on Reddit where he said, hi, I'm Jill Zarin's step-grandson. Ask me anything.
Yes.
By the way, I run the Zarin Fabrics Instagram, so that was me. And someone said, is that your contact photo for her in your phone? And he said, I don't think she is a contact in my phone, but I can tell you that my mother is also named Jill Zarin, so we call the evil Jill Zarin.
Yes.
Jill Shapiro, because her maiden name is Shapiro.
Yes, fantastic. Like,
damn, imagine being the Jill Zarin who is Jill Zarin's stepdaughter and is now getting a million Google alerts about the evil Jill Zarin who your father married. That's twisted.
Oh my God,
and I would
that's
be so
horrifying.
Angry.
That poor lady.
But
that
her son lady. Is going off. They were like, what's your favorite and least favorite thing about Jill Zarin? And he said, favorite is she buys me Pokemon cards for Hanukkah. Least favorite is we had to be on Celebrity Wife Swap.
Oh.
I was like, this is funny. He's funny. He's like, if Mods need me to prove anything, I'm happy to. Like, I'll post a story from the Zarin Fabrics, like whatever you want. But we're here loving that her life is blowing up because she's truly wretched.
I'm so happy about this. I'm so thrilled about it. Oh, well, curses to her.
With that out of the way, though, I'd love to hear the good things you're feeling in this moment.
Oh my God.
It was so
absolutely.
Lovely.
We had to get off shit that was truly that deep. I mean, yeah, that show was truly life-changing. I watched it with our beloved Aragon. Yes, our
Cristobal
greatest supporter.
Himself.
Cristobal himself, mijo, mi amor. Truest supporter of the Kibitz, too. We love, listens to every episode, so I knew he's going to hear this. I love you so much.
What a
baby.
King.
What a king. King to end all kings.
Probably not actually named Cristobal, but I.
No, not
think it's pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
In Spanish class, they would have called him Cristobal.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But yeah, so we watched it together and we absolutely cried. We were sobbing. We were fucked up. Everything about the show, from like the guests having like outside of the fucking bodega dancing.
That was incredible.
That was
they
incredible.
Built a bodega on stage.
Uh-huh. It was so good.
The part where they were like on the telephone lines spinning in the hats.
Exactly.
That was crazy.
Which is like especially like such a beautiful call out moment for Puerto Rico, because Puerto Rico famously has so many power grid failures because of the U.S.
Because of
like U.S. lack of infrastructure there and lack of support. Like him highlighting that, doing his own stunts, by the way, not even wearing a harness, which like someone peered into. And
so,
it's so
hot.
Cool.
This was like, the sexiest I've ever found him. Like, he's always been attractive, but something I guess about like speaking truth to power is really sexy, I guess.
Absolutely.
Maybe. I was like, he has never been hotter than he is right now.
Oh, girl. I was fucking Mount Vesuvius in that bitch.
I bet. It was wild.
Girl.
I was like,
your lady was creamed up. Girl, ooh, there was a flood that day.
I think the first thing I did was text you, your man was so good.
I know, exactly. My husband. Oh, mi hombre. Yeah, it was life-changing. Between him and Ricky Martin, the fineness quotient was out of the
fucking
roof.
Speaking of facelifts, Ricky Martin looks so fucking good. It's
so
twisted.
Fucking good. It's insane.
Every faggot who's like, I'm going to do something to my face, look at Ricky Martin.
Look at that.
Look at that. Only do that.
Only do that. Find out what he did. Find out
who he
went to.
Looks like a deep plane facelift, maybe. Subtle, tasteful. Mm-hmm. It's like what Helen Mirren did like 20 years ago. Do something subtle. No filler. You're going to look crazy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what he did, but he looks good as fuck.
He looks incredible. He looks like he's still in Menudo. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I was like,
thank
you. Except like hotter than he's ever been before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Daddy is good on him. He looks really good.
Oh, yeah. Daddy is final form.
Yeah. I relate to that and am excited about my 40s. And similarly, he was always meant to be Poppy Ricky. Like very
absolutely.
Specifically.
But, oh my God. Oh, Poppy today. Oh my God. It's so good. Whole like boiled silk, let me tell you. I just know.
I mean, that's twisted as a sentence, but I'm now thinking about it. So well done.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. She's a poet.
I loved that in the bodega was just every Latino celebrity.
Oh my God. Jessica Alba, Carol G, Pedro Pascal.
Well, I loved that Jessica Alba was there fujoing out with Pedro because we that was what also made me laugh. I was like, we were so right. Jessica Alba is living her fujo fantasy hanging out with the guy who's about to fuck her boyfriend, and she loves it.
And she loves it. Fujoshi Queen. Our
Cardi B was there. We'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that in a second. Cardi B. Cardi B was extremely there. And
she was very there. She was, noticeably, I don't think anyone was at the Super Bowl more than Cardi B this
Cardi
year,
B. And then she was extremely and noticeably not.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. But yeah.
Karol G, whose new single has Amano art, like Yoshitaka Amano did the cover art for her new single.
And oh, my God. I know.
Like,
I
got
to
get into Karol G if Amano.
Oh, my God. You come into this house, baby. It's so good over here. It's so good.
I've always liked her, but it's another one. Honestly, like Spanish language music, I'm just not as up on the current stuff as I ought to be. But I am excited to get more into it as we get more of it on the radio, which we should.
Period.
40 million Americans speak Spanish.
Also, since I have been living in that album for like a full calendar year, just because like didn't get to go to any, obviously, because he did not perform in America.
Right.
For good reason. For good reason. King for that.
He at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Extremely king for that. So getting to see Debí Tirar Unas Fotos live, Café con Ron, which is like my song, my heart, my whole world. It meant so much. That little boy, that sweet little boy who everyone thought
oh
that
my
was
God,
a kid that was kidnapped by
and
ICE.
And it was like, no, he's just also brown.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, guys, that was a real, we need to call a meeting of white people.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Entirely different child.
They looked similar. Like,
I mean, in the sense that all five-year-olds look kind of similar.
Exactly. The child was supposed to be representative of him, so definitely got through.
Oh, really? I thought it was supposed to represent, like, Benito as a child. Like, watching, like, MTV or whatever it was.
Oh, no. Someone, like, the, like, choice was, like, distinct, too.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, that, like, representation.
Okay, so evocative.
And, like,
well, listen, it came across to everybody watching.
It did.
Who assumed,
exactly.
So...
Which is powerful. And I think it's, like, a good national reminder to
have.
Sure,
absolutely.
But, yeah, like, but that moment of him giving the baby the Grammy was so cute. Fuck me up. I'm going to cry again.
And then Gagita.
Gagita. So, Gagita is, like... I loved it, first of all. The only white bitch allowed at the function.
I liked when you pointed out they made her sit on the arm of the couch.
In the behind-the-scenes photo.
The thing is, she's happy to.
She's happy to, exactly. And that's what I posted. I was like, they made the white girl sit on the arm of the chair, and she was thrilled to.
Listen, she's only 5'2". She can sit on the arm. It's
she
fine.
Can sit on the arm, exactly. But yeah, such mixed feelings, because I know, like, Benito is the monster supreme.
He loves Lady Gaga. So
he loves Lady Gaga.
For him, that was really
That was for him. That was for him.
He wanted that.
The rest of the show is for us. Him as monster supreme, that was for him.
He was like, I want Gaga in my show.
You're performing at the fucking Super Bowl. You just won a Grammy. Celebrate yourself
by
getting
Lady
Gaga.
Well, you just beat her for the Grammy also. So it was really
exactly.
nice. It was almost
really
like her agreeing to be his vice president. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Right.
Because he won the primary. Like, it was that vibe, kind of.
Your woke white girl vice president. It's
yeah.
So beautiful.
I thought it was really cute.
Her being such a passionate advocate for his win, and just that has to be such a full circle moment for him.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, not only, like, beat her for the Grammy, but have her, like, undying, sincere,
all over the media talking
report.
About how thrilled exactly. she was for him. And now, of course, we know that they were already in rehearsals for the Super Bowl.
Oh, no. Apparently, they weren't already.
Oh, that's even better. So they just threw this together because he was like, do you want to do it?
It was like a thrown together thing because the designer, the Latino designer who does Loire, who did her dress, was immediately after the Grammys, we were
that
told.
That makes so much sense.
Uh-huh, exactly.
She'll do a guest spot if you want her. Yeah, that's
exactly,
cool.
Right? It's really cute. So I do think this was like a quick
come
together.
Because she did one of the best halftime shows in recent memory also.
Exactly.
So it was also
absolutely.
Like a cute bit for them. And she also had a really good ad at the Super Bowl this year for like some real estate company. But she covered the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood song and like gave a monologue about how ICE is evil.
She was also singing with Jigglypuff.
As she should.
Mm-hmm. Two divas. But yeah, having that moment, Señorita Gagita, was fantastic.
It was very funny.
It was so cute.
Rearranging that Bruno Mars song to be a salsa arrangement was like very funny.
It was.
Also.
It was so cute. I know. There was like a bit like where I was like, I was like, I didn't need a white person.
You didn't need any white people. No, I get
exactly.
that. I do.
But like, I was like, if there are going to be any, and if it's for Benito, so he can have this like moment of like fandom and like full circle, it is so worth it. And it is so beautiful.
It also made all the idiots who didn't watch and were like, how about one song in English look like the idiots they are? Because like there was one song in English. He brought
there
out
was.
Lady Gaga.
Exactly. Lady Gaga.
What are you talking about? Did you watch
exactly.
it? No.
Who's saying
oh, I see.
One line in Spanish. Exactly. Did you watch it? Were you tuned in? Can you tell the difference? Actually?
Can you tell the difference?
And like having her being like a singer at a Latino wedding that was actually a real wedding.
That was so cute, too.
That was so cute. And, like, the kid sleeping on the chair. The kid sleeping on the chair.
So
it's
cute.
Like, it makes me so emotional. I'm like, there is always a kid sleeping on a row of chairs. It's so Latin and so fucking beautiful. He's so perfect. It, like, changed my life.
I was so impressed with the camera work, the way that moved in front of him in one shot. We eventually could see the cameraman. There were two other white people glimpsed in a very funny moment. We saw the cameraman at one point, and then we saw him accidentally fix his camera for a second on the enormous 6-foot-tall, very heavy set, security heavy white man who clearly is Bad Bunny's bodyguard. And the bodyguard is like, not here.
Yep.
And then they go, oh shit, and turn the camera away. It's like great it's cameo so from the man making sure that no one shoots Bad Bunny. At
I
the
know
Super Bowl
exactly
halftime show.
When he's been getting death threats. So
oh, he sure has.
He sure has.
I read
sure
they've gone up
has.
By 400% in the weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. That's crazy.
I
People
fucking
are
hate
fucking
it here.
Crazy.
People are fucking disgusting.
But
racism
good for him for doing it.
Friend.
I mean, it's really like I'm just very impressed with him. I think he's a really impressive guy, and also
he's one of the best that we have.
A generational talent, which.
Absolutely.
Cool also, but many talented people would not have the stones to do what he's doing.
And there were so many just like small, adorable nods, like him having the Villas Tacos of like one of LA's most famous taco places, do a little cameo there, the nail salon that he included
and
like the little walk up with like Bad Bunny lore, him getting like proxy homophobia. For like going into a nail salon to get his nails done once,
yes,
and that
I
like
remember
activating
that.
Him to be like a really massive, huge,
like outspoken LGBT
queer activist,
person.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Like one of our biggest, one of our best, and like him really bringing that moment to the fore too, having like fucking gay Latinos grinding on each other on stage,
incredible.
I love him so much. He's so perfect.
He's good. He's so
he's
good.
One of our best. My treasure. So yeah, that is like literally dominating my brain in terms of culture this week. It's like everything. I'm living and breathing it.
As it should. I think it was a real moment and it reverberates and will continue to do so for a while. It felt defiant and exciting in a way that I think everybody needed, but particularly Latinos needed, right? I mean, it was just...
Yeah.
Every Latin person I know is like feeling much better this week than they did last week.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. No, he did this for us and we lift him up. We lift up our king. Mi gente Latino. But in other Super Bowl news, because a lot happened, Cardi B and Stefan Diggs.
Woo!
Yeah, apparently over. So... For those who don't know, Stefon Diggs plays for the New England Patriots, who lost the Super Bowl.
Boo. I'm sorry, my brother-in-law loves the Patriots, but I don't.
Yeah, boo. I don't care about any of them.
They cheat.
I don't care about
I don't even care about football. I just like
I automatically was rooting for the Seahawks as much as I can root for anyone, which is not at all. But when I was forced to be around men watching football, I was on the side of the Seahawks.
I like the Seahawks because their uniforms are pretty. I like that, like, minty green.
I love a jewel tone. Yeah, I love a jewel tone. Yeah, I also don't... I didn't like the Patriots. As soon as I realized there was a team called the Patriots, which is when I got there and saw the thing on the screen, I was like, I don't like that. So automatically no to them.
Tom Brady at the Super Bowl a million times with the Patriots. Like, I just don't... It's not a vibe that I
That's
enjoy.
Not my culture. That's not my culture. That's nothing I can subscribe to. So I immediately wanted them to lose anyways. And I'm glad they did.
My dad is from Boston and he's a Buffalo Bills fan because fuck the Patriots.
Period. Fuck the Patriots. Exactly. Period. That's not a name that I can get behind. That's not an ideology that I can get behind. It's not my tea. So yeah, Stephon Diggs played for the Patriots, which we already don't like. He also was only able to play because he was supposed to be in court at the Super Bowl. He was supposed to be arraigned at the Super Bowl for a case of assault on women.
Yeah, this I hadn't heard about until the Super Bowl.
I had not until right before either.
Like the day of this hit the news.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. It was like right before. I had like heard trickles of like the case happening. But yeah, he was only allowed to play because they said you are going to jail right after. You are getting arraigned immediately after. But you can play your game.
You can play your little game.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a lot riding on it for like, you know, there's millions of dollars on this or whatever. So you can do that. But then we are taking you directly to prison.
Uh-huh. So his ass had to go straight home after his game because he had to be up at court in the morning bright and early to go to jail, nigga. He also left that game bitchless and single.
Because Cardi B, mother of his child recently. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
you may recall she was pregnant at her trial when she was sued by that security guard in a spurious way. Cardi B innocent, but
free Cardi B.
And they did.
And she is. She's out here thriving.
Fully acquitted,
one person who did not have to wake up and go to jail was Cardi B.
Nope.
Let me tell you that.
Nope.
Never
she showed up, charmed the nation, was completely acquitted because she's innocent.
Exactly. Period. Because that was some bullshit. Could never be her. Could never be her problem.
Simply not.
So, yeah, left the game bitchless because Cardi B is no longer with him. In the moment, it was thought it was because Stephon Diggs invited his, like, baby mama onto the field.
The other one.
Uh-huh, the other one.
Who also had his baby recently.
Exactly.
Was sitting front row seat, allegedly.
Fun fact about Stephon Diggs, has had a newborn every calendar year recently.
It's a bit of a Nick Cannon
vibe. Yeah, and similarly, lock him up. So it was thought that, like, he invited his baby mom on the field, and she was in his hotel room before the game. So everyone was like, oh, that is why.
Meanwhile, Cardi had spent $1.2 million on the after party for Stephon, whether he won or lost.
Yeah. Did not attend because
ended up
she
not
was
attending.
Seen. Ended up not attending. Neither of them did. The reason that we know she was not at the Super Bowl for her baby daddy, but in fact was there for Bad Bunny, is because she posted on her story in the car leaving the game while it was still going immediately after the halftime show ended.
Left after halftime.
Uh-huh.
Just like me.
Which is bad. Just like baby.
I was like, and we're good.
Oh, the second that show ended, laptop was open. I started working at the party.
Yep. I was like, I'm going to go upstairs.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
I was like, well, thank you for that. My time here is ended. Thank you so much.
My time here is now over. I'm going to have some wings, but I'm going to take them upstairs.
I'm taking them. Thank you. Yeah. Exactly. I'm getting myself another plate and then I'm posting down and I totally forgot something was even happening up there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A fabulous bit of pettiness to make sure to post on your own story that you are not at that game anymore and that you were absolutely, for the record, not here for that man.
And then you sent me that video of her on like the red carpet beforehand.
Oh, yeah. The red carpet beforehand where the hex that
this
she
was
put
a
on
malediction.
This man.
This was a
malediction.
Crazy word.
No, this was brujeria.
It was brujeria in, like, a serious way.
In a serious way. And so a reporter asked her while she's, like, going into the game, like, do you have any words for Stephon Diggs ahead of his Super Bowl game? And she looks over her shoulder and says, good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
This was before, I believe, the news of his...
Yeah.
Arraignment for beating women hit the press. But she knew about it.
She sure did. And her not even bothered to like turn and fully look at the camera.
No, didn't even turn toward the camera. Just looked over her shoulder. Ha, good luck.
With like the visible scowl on her face.
Disdain.
Good luck.
Good luck.
The little nod too. Good luck. The pervasive good luck of that. And for her, in her brujeria, she knew the outcome. She knew the outcome.
I've been thinking about that ever since I saw it. Because it was very Jordan Core, first of all.
It was. But, oh, no. I've
you have cursed a man in exactly that way.
You know I have.
I've seen you do it. Where I'm like, how's so-and-so? And you're like, good luck to him.
Uh-huh. It's like you know
and
what?
And then I know it's bad.
It's bad.
Uh-huh. And I don't even need to know what he did.
Oh, exactly. Uh-huh. You know. Oh, Jordan Core is... Best of luck to that man.
That is something you have said to me many times when I've inquired after a man that for all I understood, you were still going out with. And then I'm like, how so-and-so? And you're like, good luck to that man. Best of luck to him. And I'm like...
Exactly. After the life-ruining karmic energies I have placed on itself, on his soul and home...
Karmic debt is heavy now.
Yeah, really...
And entities will come to collect. Like, it will be
absolutely
powerful soon.
I take out my watch. Ooh, and it looks like they're on their way.
It's that time now.
Uh-huh. Ooh, they should be at his door just about now. Look at God. Look at timing.
What?
Me getting a text.
Mm-hmm.
Right on schedule. So the writing was definitely on the wall. She wrote it. And then she confirmed it and underlined it the day after when she said she's actually been single for a hot minute now. She was not staying at that game no matter what. This is not news to her. So yeah, Cardi B, I'm so glad you have freed yourself, queen. Note, sister to sister, love to love, mija to mija. Let's take a pause. Let's take a pause on having babies until we've done a little more bedding. Just a touch, just like
the landscape,
just a bit.
A little.
Yep, exactly.
You have several beautiful children now.
Exactly. I think we can pause. Yeah, exactly. As we know by now, as you know by now, my sister, you can't trust these niggas. So don't get yourself attached. And she knows that. And I celebrate my girl who is now free. Free my bitch.
I think that this is going to be an exciting new era for her. I honestly,
I'm
going to
so
be
excited.
Really real. I think it's time for a gay era.
I think so. No, we were talking about that with that photo of her looking at Jessica Alba. Like, well,
like
no,
I think
talking
it's
about,
time.
I was talking with someone about that.
I had the same thought when I saw her looking at Jessica Alba. I was like, it's time for a Cardi
Thank
B
you.
Dyke era is what it's time for.
No, literally at like the Super Bowl watch party when like there was like saw her looking at Jessica Alba and then there was like a close up photo of it. I'm like, this is a sign that she just needs to be gay. She just needs to be gay, at least for a minute.
She
like,
needs to
a
find
couple
her
years.
Jessica Betts.
Exactly. As long as one of our oldest bisexuals, like longest running out bisexuals.
Longest term, yeah.
Longest publicly out bisexual that we have currently on our roster at that status. She is leading the charge, and I need her to kind of stay on the other side for a hot minute. Because I think it will serve her.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I think it serves most women who choose that option, if it's an option that they have.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, it pretty much always serves them. But also, it's just we crave. We crave it.
And you know what? I have also been taking that advice and internalizing it because same. Maybe
I would love
I just
that
need
for
to
you.
Be done for a minute
Maybe
for
you
a
just
while.
Need to be a lesbian for a minute.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? She may be. So
I see
face.
That for you. I
watch
do.
This face. The wonders that it will do for my mental health, trust and believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 after what your girl has been going through.
Yeah.
Trust and believe. Mm-hmm.
Trust me. Ooh. If it was an option for me to date women, mm-hmm. no question.
Girl. Yeah, it I wouldn't be touching these.
My great
these
regret that I'm just not into it.
Exactly. It's dark out here. It's ghetto as hell.
It's tough. It's tough mm-hmm. out there. It's a tough scene dating
I'm
men.
I'm telling you, baby. It sure is. Oof. Well, blessings to our girl. Blessings to our girl.
Speaking of rap icons we love, Megan Thee Stallion posted a fantastic image on Instagram of herself and Daniel Radcliffe. A still from her upcoming guest appearance on the new sitcom, The Fall and Rise of Reggie Dinkins, a Tracy Morgan vehicle from the creators of 30 Rock, starring Daniel Radcliffe as the Tracy Morgan character's new PR guy, I guess, who's like making a documentary about him to get him back on top or uncanceled or something. I don't know. I saw like one ad for this and it looked perfectly fine. Mostly, I'm just always happy for Daniel Radcliffe to be getting work because he's very good. And in this case, I'm thrilled because Daniel Radcliffe sitting next to Megan Thee Stallion and her towering over him demurely with a big gulp in her hands.
An image most healing image. For me. Yeah.
And I have to tell you that three different people sent this to me with the caption, "The Kibitz."
Period.
Yeah.
I'm screaming.
The first person who sent it with the caption, "There are kibitzes everywhere for those with eyes to see."
Yeah.
And I was
screaming. This is us.
When I looked at this, I thought me and Jordan. And then several complete strangers said this to me, fans of the show, and were like, "This is the kibitz." And I was like, "This is the kibitz."
It is. There are kibitz everywhere for those with eyes. I'm looking at the photo right now. He's also wearing your shirt and pants.
He's wearing literally like my clothes. And
and she's posted with my ass.
And like sitting in a way that you sit.
Absolutely.
And it looks like they're about to drop the most fire podcast episode of all time.
I'm beyond myself. Oh my God. Oh, my cheeks hurt. This is taking me the fuck out.
So that delighted
me. Oh, God is so good. Look at that. Look at us. I love us. I love culture. Oh, I needed that. I needed that laugh.
White Katara updates. This one made me sad. Brooklyn Beckham was spotted out on the town having covered up his tattoos that said mom and dad.
Oh, that baby. That's really fucking sad. That is. I hate this. This is
and
so
like
sad.
Clearly they called the paparazzi to be like, come take photos of him having covered up these tattoos while we take a little walk through a parking lot. The whole thing
is
grim.
What? I know. The whole thing is grim. The way sons will disappoint you.
I guarantee you that Nelson Peltz and Jill Zarin are tight.
Oh, I know. I know. I know they are. I'm positive.
I know they are, and I hope that they're having a shitty weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. I can feel that you're racist here, Miss Peltz, and a pox on you.
Yeah, I just know. I just know.
I just know.
I'm sorry.
I have everything that I need.
Your father's a billionaire MAGA donor who specifically tried to do a hostile takeover of Disney to make them more racist. That was like part of his stated, it was like no more woke shit. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that checks out to me. What else is checking out to me is people's reviews on Emerald Fennell's take on Wuthering Heights.
The reviews are mixed.
They're mixed. There's mixed.
Some people really like it, but the bad reviews are extremely funny.
They are extremely funny. This one from New York Magazine, there's a writer named
Allison Wilmore.
I love her.
She's really good.
I love her so much. She's so good. Her take on it is what I am already certain is going to be my take on it based off of what I've already seen. And it's kind of like the vibe I'm holding on to going in. And I just want to read this because it is, I think, really important for how I am preparing myself, and I think we should all prepare ourselves going into this film. She says, "Wuthering Heights is Emerald Fennell's dumbest movie, and I say that with all admiration because it also happens to be her best to date," which tracks for her.
But like, what a read.
What a read. What a devastating read. To come out jump saying Bar is in hell, fantastic.
Well, but particularly to say, like, all she needed to do was embrace being an idiot.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Because when her movies try to be smart, they're bad.
Exactly. She always is trying to say something, and I just need her to hold on to the fact that she may not have much to say.
Promising Young Woman has one of the worst endings to a film.
In film history.
Human history. And I have heard that was a studio thing, but if I were Emerald Fennell, I would have refused to do that.
Absolutely.
Because it destroys the entire film.
Absolutely. Yeah, and pisses me off.
Famously, that movie pisses me off.
Oh, literally, I threw the remote when I was done. I didn't see it in theaters. I waited until it was on streaming. When I got to the ending, I threw my remote and broke it.
Well, so like, spoiler alert, but I can't talk about this one without explaining how unbelievably insane this movie's ending is. It was supposed to end with the death of the promising young woman, which is a brutal, tragic ending, but would be a good ending for the film. Then, because that didn't test well in focus groups, they add an ending where, like, her journals are discovered and all of the rapists get arrested and the police solve everything. Why did we watch this? What was the point of this? You're muted. You're so angry that you muted yourself.
I did. I accidentally...
She was screaming, just so you know, and I was like, why can't I... Oh, you're muted.
I was screaming. I was throwing hands so hard that I accidentally muted my own microphone. My microphone silenced my anger.
But truly, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
That's crazy.
I'm livid. Livid. Like, undermining the entire point of your own film is fucking crazy.
Yeah, like, now you have no theme or message or anything.
Like, where did you fucking focus group this? Epstein Island? The fuck are you talking about?
If this really happened, the police would solve it. Wait, we just watched a whole movie about how that's not the case.
About a woman deciding
to sacrifice herself to try and fix something and failing because of the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have the patriarchy solve it for her?
Like scarabs start pouring
out of
my body.
So her sacrifice wasn't in vain, but also we can trust the police? What is this movie about?
I'm going to start shooting the TV. That's where I'm at whenever I think of this movie. But anyways, so...
Promising young directrix who has failed to impress me many times by this point.
Exactly.
Great soundtracks.
Wilmore goes on. Fennell has an incredible talent for the moment, for extravagant scenes that bypass all higher thought functions to spark a deeper lizard brain pleasure, and for pop music scored montages of lushness that could levitate you right out of your seat. But her thematic incisiveness is not proven to be her strong suit, nor something her heart is in. Which I agree. I agree completely. In Wuthering Heights, she throws off the burden of trying to say something significant as one would a crushed velvet cloak when the sun's finally come out. Fennell surveys Bronte's saga of doom, passion, obsession, and multi-general resentment, and sums it up as a story of two incredibly messy bitches who can't stay away from one another, which is her lane.
Alison Wilmore's podcast partner, my friend Richard Lawson, formerly of Vanity Fair, who now writes his own newsletter independently, Premiere Party with Richard Lawson, that people should subscribe to.
Oh, yeah, Richard.
He reviewed it with the headline, "The Withering Lows of Wuthering Heights."
Mm-hmm.
Emerald Fennell makes a squalid mess of a highly anticipated adaptation. And he said something similar. Watching Saltburn, I yearned for Fennell to honestly assess her talents and decide that maybe next time someone else should write the screenplay while she focuses on making everything look great and doing a good job steering her actors. But alas, that was not meant to be.
This bitch should not be writing.
But she won Best Screenplay at the Oscars for Promising Young Woman, a screenplay that completely falls apart at the end, which is crazy.
It's psychotic.
And so she's convinced that she's a great screenwriter.
In fact, she's
a very good director
who is an incredible screenwriter. Terrible screenwriter and should not be given a pen. Don't give this bitch a pen.
Stop it.
Stop. Leave me alone. Like, my paradise would be Emerald Fennell's lens on a script that's actually good.
Yes.
That is how nature heals. Like, gorgeous movies that I love, great choices, except for the plot.
Like, really, she cannot land the plane.
She cannot.
She absolutely cannot.
And that's why she cannot be in charge of the route.
But, like, you know who mostly doesn't write his movies? Steven Spielberg.
Exactly. Great director.
And sometimes a good writer. He wrote The Fablemans. You know, like, he's written stuff that was good. But for the most part, directs.
He
didn't need to write The Color Purple.
Thank you. Exactly.
He directed the fuck out of it.
Take the pen away. Break it. Snap it in half.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I am still going to be watching this. I'm still excited because...
The soundtrack that's about to hit is going to be like my album of the year.
Absolutely.
Regardless.
No, it's going to change our lives. Yeah, no, I will be in the theater because, as I've said on this podcast many times, I have the distinct and self-protective talent of smoothing out my brain when I know something is not to be consumed on a serious level. And I encourage you all to do the same.
Yeah, and to be fair to Emerald Fennell, she did call this movie Wuthering Heights with quote marks around it.
Exactly.
Because she's very openly said, like, this film is more of a vibe about how I felt reading Wuthering Heights as a teenager than it is like a direct adaptation of Wuthering Heights.
Exactly. I can tell.
And apparently it throws out almost the entire plot. So.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And I figured because Heathcliff is white.
That one's complicated. I think that in the book, Heathcliff is white and people are racist about him because Britain is racist toward anyone who is even remotely swarthy. And that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
With him in that book. Mm-hmm. However, once people had started casting non-white actors as Heathcliff in adaptations to underline that theme, it's a little bit weird to pointedly cast a white Heathcliff.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. It's just like, I understand when she's like, well, it's not white. I'm like, okay, I get it, but it's the least interesting choice you could have made.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And other people have made the other choice many times now.
Mm-hmm.
She casts someone way too old to play Kathy, who happens to look a lot like Emerald Fennell.
Yeah.
And I love Margot Robbie, but this is like the miscast of the century.
I know, absolutely. This movie is going to be a hoot for me.
It'll be a treat, I'm sure.
Exactly.
A feast of strange, bizarre choices that if you fully smooth out your brain and just vibe out to the soundtrack by Charlie XCX.
Exactly.
I bet it's a rollicking good time in its way.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be visually weird with a vibey ass soundtrack, and I get to look at Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi, and that's enough for me. I love to buy a ticket to just vibe out for about an hour and a half. That's a great use of time for me.
Richard said even the more refined aspects of Fennell's pictures have a noxious quality. The elaborate interiors she's conjured up are designy in the tackiest of ways. I'm all for gaudy and ridiculous, but Wuthering Heights doesn't seem to get the joke it's inadvertently making. It's too busy substituting compelling narrative with Baroque craft. And that kind of sums up her whole deal to me, which is why someone else should write.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Excited for Charlie, though. Album's going to kill. Yeah. It's a big moment for Charlie
for
with the release of The Moment, obviously, at Sundance, but also a million projects that have been percolating for a while now announced or happening or live or going into production. I think that for the angels in the audience, the Charlie XCX brand is only going up from here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We have her starting on the Tenu Takashi Miike movie.
They start filming next month. We've got the premise now, and it's so fun.
I love this.
It's about like three Western girls who are like college friends who decide to meet up in Japan for like a reunion. And then Charlie gets possessed by like an onryo.
Yes, I love.
Played by a Japanese actress.
Which is so perfect for her. Yes, I'm going to come. I'm going to come. I'm so excited.
Charlie gets
for this.
To go full The Grudge, and they hired a great Japanese actress to play the ghost who like possesses her. And they're going to be like playing sort of a dual. Both playing the role thing.
This is going to be really crack to me. This is going to be crack to me. Press tour of the century. I'm so excited. This is made in a lab for me. Millie Alcock's in it, who is my daughter, who is
playing one of the
girl.
Friends. Yeah, she's so good.
I can't wait.
And he's exactly the kind of white girl who should be in a goes to Japan for funsies and awakens an ancient Shinto ghost.
Yes.
That's very much her vibe.
Exactly. 1,000%. I'm so stoked. Yeah, this is going to be amazing. Who is the Japanese aspect? Oh, Kiko Muzuhara. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, she's amazing. I love her. This is going to be so good. She's also fucking stunning. I love Kiko.
Gorgeous.
I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
she's
really good. And Norman Reedus is going to be in this randomly.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, like also a really strong white guy to send to Japan for nonsense.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of actor.
Absolutely.
There's a reason that he's worked with like Hideo Kojima.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
If you want like a craggy white man for your Japanese project, Norman Reedus is a great choice.
Oh, yeah. Kiko Mizuhara was in the Norwegian
Wood. Yeah, Norwegian
Wood. That was so good with, what's her name? Rinko Kuchiki.
Rinko Kikuchi, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She, which I love that fucking movie. It's one of my favorite books. They both do amazing in it. I'm so excited for this. Made in a lab. Made in a lab.
She's American also, like born in America, but works a lot in Japan because she's bilingual. And I think her mom is a Korean Japanese person, which is an interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a whole talk about racism. that people don't know about. Yeah, that's a complicated one.
Uh-huh. Also, Utopia. I'm so excited for that, too.
Yes, is that how you say it? I haven't dared to say it out loud.
I just keep saying Utopia.
Utopia?
Utopia. Yeah, that's how it looks. That's how I'm going to say it. Should we test this?
Charlie's movie, Utopia.
Let me ask Google how we say her.
It's Erupcja.
I think it's eruption. I think it means eruption.
In
Erupcja. Erupcja.
In Polish?
Yeah. Okay. That was right.
Erupcja. Okay. Not Erupcja. Bad at all. Yeah. Erupcja.
I know. Period. Polish diva. Come on.
Charlie plays a girl who comes to visit her friend who lives in Warsaw, and then a volcano erupts.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Mount Helen erupts. Did you see the new trailer?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I know you did.
I sure fucking did.
I bet you fucking did. The Google alerts are on. I can already tell there's going to be, like, heavy, of course, symbolism for, like, oh, their relationship is also an eruption.
Yes.
That happens whenever they get together. Fucking, what's his name? Jeremy O'Harris is also in it. I'm excited for this movie. It looks
good.
Well,
they co-wrote the movie with the director.
Oh, I love that.
Charlie and Jeremy.
Oh, that's so dope. That's
and
so dope.
Lena Gora, the Polish actress. Uh-huh. Like, they all wrote it. I guess also Will Madden. Like, the main cast and the director, like, wrote the screenplay together.
That's so cute. I'm so excited for this. This is going to be so good.
They're, like, all credited on it, which I think is super cool.
This is going to be a key. Ah! We're in for some good fucking food, babe.
The Olympics have started, and I enjoy the Winter Olympics because there's figure skating in it, and I enjoy a figure skate. Ilya Malinin did a backflip that people are saying is the first Olympic backflip, and I just need to note that if you are a millennial or simply a person of taste, you know that Surya Bonaly used to do a backflip like that, which they call the Bonaly, and she was dinged for it because it was an illegal move at the time. She did it in Nagano because she knew she wasn't going to get gold. She was like, you know what? Fuck him.
Fuck him. I'm going to stunt instead.
She was one of the only black women in figure skating, and she always got told she wasn't artistic enough. It was a very Simone Biles kind of conversation decades earlier.
Oh, I'm sure.
But she could fucking backflip and land on one blade. It was the coolest thing anybody had ever seen, but it was illegal and she lost a point for doing it. But she was like, fuck you, I'm a legend now, no matter whether I win gold or not. And everyone reporting on Malinin doing this should be calling it a Bonaly because that's what the movie's called. Just a note.
Yeah, yeah.
As a Surya Bonaly.
Period.
Player.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. As we all must be.
But I have a little bit of a crime corner.
Ooh.
There was a scandal right as the Olympics were starting.
Ooh.
Allegedly, several ski jumpers injected hyaluronic acid into their penises.
Oh my God, I did hear this.
In order to slightly enlarge their soft cocks temporarily so that they could get more drag on the ski jump.
Oh my God, I'm fucking screaming.
So they used the time-honored gay cruise tradition of injecting weird shit into your dick to make it look bigger temporarily.
Yep. Uh-huh.
It's not banned in the sport, but it does increase the penis's circumference temporarily by 1 to 2 centimeters, which adds a few millimeters down there in the inseam of fabric in the suits. That therefore increases the flight time in the air because your suit is now wider. It's like the tiniest thing, but with a ski jump, it's like eyelashes matter. Like, it's like that. It's like swimming, you know, like every little bit of material on your body is a factor in how aerodynamic you are. The Olympics are claiming that they investigated this with a 3D scanner and didn't find any evidence that it's true. But I think that it's so funny that they were examining everyone's cock.
I am so
with
upset.
With a 3D scanner.
That's fantastic.
To be like, did you do it? Did you do it?
Are you doing cock crimes? Who here is doing
and
cock
that
crimes?
That leads me to believe that at least one person did do a cock crime and got around. Because they wouldn't be scanning everyone's cock if someone hadn't done it.
Exactly.
But it doesn't seem like any of the people in medal contention did it. So the results are not
so
tainted.
Who cares?
But
exactly.
I do love this bit of dick-related drama.
Subsection of Crime Corner, cock
Very
crime corner.
Very appropriate for the Milan
Absolutely.
Olympics. For
cock
people to be injecting weird shit into their dicks.
Cock crime capital of the world.
Say that. Say I was that. Just there last year, and the cock crimes are occurring. Yeah,
baby, baby, you were doing some cock crimes.
I would say that I was a force for cock justice.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were, baby. The cockvestigator.
I've never felt the need to eject anything. I'll just say that.
I'll say that. That. Cock Bureau of Information. I know that's right.
But speaking of cockvestigations,
Professor Diva's favorite beat.
What's up in science this week, Professor Diva?
Oh my gosh. Well, your premier cockvestigator has been on the beat. She's Beaker out. She is focused on the latest news about the United States leaving the World Health Organization. So this one is a plug for a piece that will be out in full on the uptake by the time this episode comes out. But I want to give you like a micro digest because this is very big. It's us leaving the biggest health organization in the world. It's very big news.
Bad. It deserves
a lot of attention.
Bad.
Yeah, it's extremely important and you guys should know about it because it's going to affect a lot of shit. So suit up, sit down, shut the fuck up, pucker up, class is in session, bitch. A little bit of context on the U.S.'s role in the World Health Organization overall, because that's very important for how we understand this move that's happening now. While Brazil and China are credited with the formal motion to create the World Health Organization, which I'm going to be calling the WHO throughout this, so just remember that.
Teenage Wesley! Teenage Wesley! Not that WHO.
Not that one.
Yeah!
Shut up. The organization's DNA, funding, operational style were overwhelmingly shaped by the United States. So Brazil and China made the proposal, but the U.S. was the primary architect of the commission that drafted the constitution of the WHO.
This used to be like our thing, basically, that we were really excited about.
Absolutely. And really ran the show on. We were part of the conference that like drafted the WHO's constitution. The U.S. already had and ran the Pan American Health Organization that like was a distinct entity of the WHO. So we already had a like other body that was operating in tandem to this. And it's also shaped why the WHO has a very unique regional structure today. For over 75 years, the U.S. has operated as the WHO's chief scientific officer, in quotes, for all intents and purposes, and also its main bank. The U.S. was the largest contributor, like 22% of their core budget for almost their entire history. However, most of the U.S. money was voluntary and earmarked. That allowed us to bypass the WHO's general like bureaucracy and force the organization to focus on American priorities like polio and AIDS. So we had a major driving role in this organization. Like the U.S.'s CDC and NIH didn't just talk to the WHO, they were in the WHO. And over 80 WHO collaborating centers are based in U.S. universities, meaning that American standards for what counts as good science have become global by default because of this. So this is part of how we have really shaped the core of what science looks like overall because of our not only role in forming it, but in financially steering
funding it
in large part by majority for almost 80 years now.
Like since World War II, like we've been at this for a long time.
Yeah, we've been in the driver's seat with this organization for a long time. There are some ways that this role has helped us shape international science for the better. Like our involvement has led to some of the greatest scientific victories in human history. Smallpox eradication, this was a U.S.-led front. The American scientist D.A. Henderson led the WHO campaign to eradicate smallpox and was using American logistical know-how and Cold War diplomacy to wipe the disease off the map by 1980.
And succeeded
as part of like how why it's not a thing now. We created the gold standard of data. Because the U.S.'s FDA and CDC are so rigorous, the WHO often usually adopted our guidelines as the global standard. That ensured that even like small countries had access to high quality vetted medical protocols. There's also ways that our involvement shaped international science for the worse.
Shocker.
Yeah, exactly. And in typical U.S. fashion, we also had what could be called like a scientific hegemony with the world. Mm-hmm. There was like a strong, like, not invented here bias. So research from non-allied or developing nations
right.
would often struggle to get WHO approval if it didn't use US-style clinical trial models, which is partly why we're seeing a boon of resurfaced research now that you can read more about in the uptake piece that'll already be out by the time you hear this.
If it didn't come through us, we're like, I don't know about
exactly.
this.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And also because much of that research was previously stuck in a validation mm-hmm. purgatory, quote unquote, because it didn't fit the US's scientific narrative. Part of that narrative is market-driven priorities. So the U.S. often pushed the WHO towards, like, silver bullet solutions, like vaccines or specific drugs.
Miracle drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
A pharmaceutical company can get rich from those.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. And they did this rather than, like, building general healthcare systems because, like Connor said, gold star student, perfect boy.
Thank you. Yay.
This benefited large pharmaceutical companies but left many... many nations with high-tech labs and no basic clinics.
Yeah, nothing that people can go to if they have a fever.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Part of like that disproportionate investment has actually led to worse health outcomes for a lot of nations. Another not great thing about America's involvement is our veto power.
Much like the UN.
Yep, much like the UN. The US frequently used our funding, our position because of how much we funded, to block WHO initiatives that it didn't like those involving reproductive health or challenges to intellectual yeah. property for life-saving drugs.
Yeah, like patent breaking on those miracle yeah. drugs. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Or things that would like financially worsen our stake in something, even if they benefited the world
even if it
at
would
large
mean
from
that
a health perspective.
The developing yeah. world could afford medicine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even if it would save countless lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. So very typical for us. Now that the U.S. has left, it does change everything. And rather than like this is like bad for the world, bad for us, well, very likely going to be bad for us.
It'll be bad for us for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be bad for us almost certainly. For the world, TBD, again, like part of our role was not good. Part of our role was very good. It's very complicated. But what we can be certain about is things are going to change in a big way. The biggest thing is that like the US filter on science globally is gone. So American allies are losing the gold standard vetting that they've relied on. But non-allied nations no longer have the US veto blocking their research from being discussed on the global stage, which is why we're here so much, like kind of like stifled studies kind
stuff
of coming
out of China
to light now.
And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is like some are being mischaracterized by like broader, not really well-vetted media. A lot of stuff is going viral right now that is not necessarily like accurately reported on, which is why we need good science reporting. But part of that is happening because like many nations are having like a global push to boost their own research now that the U.S. is left and not driving the like scientific communication narrative.
Much like everybody's trying to boost their defense capabilities mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the U.S. has stopped defending
exactly.
its allies. It feels like we're doing Brexit, which given yeah. how Brexit uh-huh. went, it's incredible that everybody's like, let's yeah. do it again, but with a country yeah. that's way bigger and has way more uh-huh. money. That's a great
yeah,
idea.
Exactly. Great idea. For the WHO, it's now forced to look at China and Russia for both funding and scientific direction. China is stepping in heavy here.
Yeah, we're handing the entire global community to China.
Yeah, to China, absolutely. And China is enthusiastically taking it.
They want nothing more, but it's
they
basically
want nothing
us
more.
Saying,
exactly.
we give up, take it.
Uh-huh. We give up on like being the global standard for science. We're giving this to you, which again, is not necessarily a bad thing with how the U.S. has used that power historically. Again,
but
it's
I wouldn't
nuanced.
Say that the Chinese government is
and I don't think they're going to be much better.
Yeah, I mean I
exactly
just...
which is why it's hard
meet
to say
the new
that,
boss
like,
you know
exactly it's hard to say that like this is like a better or worse thing for like the global stage at large, because we have obviously not been super responsible with that power ourselves. TBD on if China is more or less responsible with it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Uh-huh. We'll see. We haven't done great lately.
Point is
so.
That we are now taking ourselves out of the running.
Out of the running, exactly. In the past, we've done great things. Recently, we have not used it very well. So we'll see how someone else holds that. TBD on the horizon. There's a lot more to this, and I get in a lot more on a specific outlook for how this like plays in different countries. I also get deeper into like how the Chinese does wield their power in this area and how we can expect them to. So if you want a much like deeper dive into this, and also if you want to know like which news stories that you've heard about recently may be true to an extent, but maybe not quite as true as like fake science.
As clickbait would have you believe, yeah.
As clickbait, like fake science Twitter accounts would have you believe, or like Instagram Reels would have you believe. I got you covered. I'll break it down. I'll let you know what's real, what's not, how much. So go dive into that, my sweet little chickadees.
Jordan is the gold standard of scientific vetting now.
Period, bitch! Say that. I'm putting that on my fucking bio.
There you go.
Say that, exactly. Hire me, who?
Well, what's up for you in music this week, my darling? I have a guess.
You have a guess, yeah. And you'd be right about that guess because it is Bad Bunny. It is Bad Bunny, baby.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I have, again, been living Latinly. That has been really just my whole bag musically lately. I have been in a big Debí Tirar Más Fotos hole in the lead up and post Super Bowl. But specifically, my like favorite song from that album that I just need to give its flowers to, because it is just such a love letter to living Latinly and Puerto Rico in general, is Café con Ron. Mm. My song. Por la mañana café, por la tarde ron. Just también calle sal de tu balcón.
Por la mañana café, por la tarde ron. Ya estamos en la calle, sal de tu balcón.
Por la mañana café, por la tarde ron. Ya estamos en la calle, sal de tu balcón.
De Arecibo hasta Ponce, de Fajardo a Rincón. Es la voz de todo un barrio, desde Almirante a Frontón.
Por la mañana café, por la tarde ron. Ya estamos en la calle, sal de tu balcón.
Ah. My song, my fucking song. It is just, it's so beautiful. I can't, like, I feel so much like Latin pride in my heart when I hear it. It takes me back to Jalisco in certain ways of just like the love and like community, even though it's like very different from Puerto Rico. That kind of like fullness mm-hmm. of like adoration for like your community, where you're from. It's just, it resonates so deeply in that song.
I've just found myself really jonesing for Puerto Rico in the last
right,
few weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bad Bunny.
When I was a kid, we used to go, we had a timeshare in Dorado 1 week a year, and it was yeah. the most beautiful place with the most mm-hmm. wonderful people. Like, it really
it's
is
fucking
just,
gorgeous. It's heaven.
One of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life, yeah. and the people are simply shirt off their back, neighborly kind yeah. of. I mean, it's a really
absolutely.
Lovely
it's
place.
A really lovely people, lovely place. I like so glad that like this love letter to it exists. You can feel it in the song, and so I've been living in it.
Yeah.
Another because I've been living Latinly and abundantly. This is a for the kids moment. If you have not sure. heard this song, a Latina classic, "Mi Mayor Venganza" by India from the 90s. It is one of my favorite Spanish language songs. One of the best fuck this man songs in history of just being fed the fuck up, which is a message that I will always resonate in every moment of my waking life because of my specific trials and tribulations that I always
absolutely,
go through.
Absolutely, as you should.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The part of this song that goes, yo te lo regalo, llévatelo lejos, en es mala suerte, y yo no lo quiero, mi mayor venganza. Será, será que te quedes con él. Nothing feels as good as getting that off your chest. If you need a spiritual healing because a man has been riding through the fucking ringer, sing that and it will heal nations. It will heal nature. One of the best songs in human history, Mi Mayor Venganza.
I'm going to toss it for the kids out as well then.
Do it.
I have been deep in an album from the year I was born, 1988. Mm-hmm. There was all this stuff about 40 Years of Control.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Part of that press blitz. And Control is an incredible album, obviously.
Oh, but period. Absolutely.
Paula Abdul choreographed all of Control for Janet Jackson. Uh-huh. And so there were interviews with Paula about the process of that and how it was like the thing she's proudest of in her career is having worked on Control with Janet.
I love that so much.
It took me to a place of Forever Your Girl, Paula Abdul's iconic album.
Uh-huh.
Just for the kids, if you don't know it, I'm just going to throw like Forever Your Girl straight up and Cold Hearted on the For the
Period.
Kids playlist. Because those
We're gonna
are the
do
three
it.
That you really should know if you don't.
Get on there. If you don't, get into it.
Yeah, iconic album, iconic figure. She's wonderful. She maybe was in a mysterious plane crash, but no one can prove it. Check out the Trish Chilby episode of Cerebro for more on that.
Uh-huh.
She's an interesting gal.
I love this.
In terms of songs of the moment, though, I didn't have one until, like, a lesbian bolt from the blue.
Yes.
Muna returned this morning as we're recording with their new single, Dancing on the Wall, the lead single
what?
From their album of the same
what?
Name. Oh, have what? You not heard this?
Oh, bitch. The second. Wrap this shit up because
we're
I need
wrap
to get
this shit
into
up
it
because
quickly.
This is one of the best songs they've done uh-huh. in a minute. The
bitch.
Sleeps are back.
Bought your favorite ice cream. Left it in the backseat. Just another sweet thing you let go back. Go on, give me nothing. Like to leave me wanting. Try to find an open, but you're the one that I keep banging the head against. I'm always saying this time I'll get it through. I end up with a bruise as a consequence. I know how to hurt myself on you, so it.
I love Katie Gavin, and I'm glad she got that country album out of her system. Her solo album was cute, but this is what I needed her back.
This is what I need.
Muna
was so back.
Doing synth pop.
Dykes are back.
Dykes are so up.
This is a 5-alarm Dyke fire. Dykes are back.
And this music video, music video is so hot.
Oh my God.
They all look incredible. Naomi had top surgery and is shirtless in this video.
Fuck.
A bunch.
Fuck.
Intersex Devo Naomi.
Intersex Devo.
Well, I once sent that clip from their podcast to you and was like, this is about you. Because it was about it was about being like a hot intersex person.
I know. Shit.
Joe also looks really hot. There's a specific kind of soft butch lesbian that really does it for me in like a weird way where my brain misfires completely.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, whoa, that person's so hot. And then I'm like, oh, but I'm not actually into them and they really wouldn't actually be into me. So we're just going to aesthetically enjoy. This is a video that's very living in that space where I'm like, man,
which is,
man, they're hot.
You know. And then what timing as I need to enter
That's
my lesbian
That's what I
era.
Was going to say. I was you're going to love the music section because Dykes are so up right now. This song
I'm biting my shirt and squealing.
Kills. I'm just going to read a couple lyrics for you.
Uh-huh. Oh, fuck.
Bought your favorite ice cream, left it in the back seat. Just another sweet thing you let go bad. You're the wall I keep banging my head against. I'm always saying this time I'll get through.
Fuck.
This is their most lesbian video, certainly since like Winter Break.
Oh,
it's like
fuck.
A real lesbian
fuck.
Fantasia on national TV.
Fuck. Oh my God. I'm going to die. This is going to kill me.
So check that out.
Yeah. Everyone get out. Everyone get out immediately. Jordan's busy.
Jordan's
Jordan
busy.
Has to go get
Jordan's
gay.
Laying down a tarp, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. Squirt off in my living room.
We're going to have to leave you with that. But first, a shout out to our Gigabits tier members. As always, thank you for supporting an independent podcast to Daniel Castrillon,
Ryan Felber,
Cole Weathers,
Demi Saint-Croix,
Logan Clad,
Derek Fultz,
Lily Leckler,
Jason Omana,
Morgan Kelly,
Mia Arndt,
and Ryan Rome. Thank you, one and all. You help make this show possible and help me pay Jordan money. Which
money.
We love.
Which I need to afford drinks to buy lesbians at bars so they'll
Say that, queen.
Period.
Bye, kids. Love you.
Mwah. Bye, guys. Mwah.
The Kibitz is a Cerebrocast production hosted, produced, and edited by Connor Goldsmith and co-hosted by the brilliant Jordan Block, with key art photography by Maxwell Poth and graphic design by Casey Knapp. Check out patreon.com/kibitzcast for more, including the Kitty Bitty, a regular bonus episode exclusive to the Patreon. Cerebrocast Productions, pop culture podcasts that make you think.